We're going to take a look next at therapeutic musicianship, and I'd like to introduce Stella Benson, who will be speaking to us about that subject. And she is the past executive director for the Music for Healing and Transition program, which was founded by Lori Riley. And Stella currently sits on the National Standards Board for Therapeutic Musicians and is the director of the Healing Musicians Center, a continued education site augmenting the skills of the therapeutic music practitioner. She is best known for her unprecedented book, The Healing Musician, A Guide to Playing Healing Music at the Bedside, and her latest book, The Healing Gift of Modes. So right now I'd like to welcome Stella.
Thank you, Tina. It's an honor to be here with your other guests, and I appreciate being invited.
Thank you. Can you give us a brief history about therapeutic musicianship?
Therapeutic musicianship, in order to be clear, there really needs to be a distinction between music therapists and therapeutic musicians, and I'm going to just give you my take on what that is. There's a difference between what the music therapist does and what the therapeutic musician does. And just very briefly, my take on the music therapy, and please correct me if I'm way off there, Barb, is it basically uses music for rehabilitation. Therapeutic music uses the intrinsic elements of music and sound to bring a reprieve and contribute to the quality of life to the listener. Now, the origins of music are unknown, but the use of music as a healing modality is an ancient practice. Primitive peoples viewed illnesses caused by unseen and religious forces, and they used music to exorcise the sick and the injured. Somewhere about mid-1990s, a spark for the use of music itself as a healing modality took hold, and thus began the certification process for therapeutic musicians by two foremost programs, namely the International Harp Therapy Program and the Music for Healing and Transition Program. Therapeutic music is a form of communication, that communication can take the place of words and more. I just wanted to share with you something really briefly that is really kind of cool for your listeners, because it really speaks to whom we are as human beings. Our ability to communicate is inseparable from our musical sense. In the womb, things like rhythms, beats, frequencies, external sounds, spoken melodies, we pick up on pitch to internalize and interpret the communication. The musical nature of speech communicates our human condition, feeling, and meaning. When we are happy and excited, we speak more rapidly and use higher pitches. And when we are sad, we speak more slowly, using a deeper, more monotone voice. Babies, for instance, learn music first before knowing the words simply by the exaggeration of mother's syllables. Babies get the message in every language, even though they don't know what the words mean yet. For instance, as a young person, say a young person learning how to learning music, melody of words and emotion can convey. The studies show that children who learn music very young can detect anger and fear in the voice much earlier and much quicker than those who haven't had music as young people. Music is so integral to language that our perception of pitch is critical to our ability to talk and to get what others mean and feel when they speak to us. And so conversely, in learning to talk, we are tuning our ear to music. So all that said, I contend that this is the foundation for our therapeutic music. Firstly, we are musical beings by nature. Then we can utilize our music know-how to contribute to the quality of life to those who are ill, sick, and dying by continuing to study the ways of music and sound and how they affect the listener. And so the more you know about your music, the more you're able to contribute.
Wonderful. I think what I'd like to ask you to talk about next is the National Standards Board for Therapeutic Musicians, because out of that, then you'll then be able to talk about the training and the time and the places and the length some of the standards that the board has put forth?
Yes, the National Standards Board for Therapeutic Musicians consists of leaders in the therapeutic music field who join together to develop and maintain standards for therapeutic music training programs. So basically what the National Standards Board does is that they accredit training programs, and in that accreditation, they are required to submit their application to make sure that they conform to the requirements and the standards that the board has put forth. The National Standards Board for Therapeutic Musicians defines healing as a movement toward mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual wholeness. And the practice of the therapeutic musician is to use the intrinsic healing elements of live music and sound to provide an environment conducive to the human healing process. And I'm just basically reading off of our site. If you're interested, it's therapeuticmusician.com, where you can learn more. So what is it that the training prepares you to do? The National Standards Board for Therapeutic Musicians has gone through great lengths to standardize training preparations used by accredited programs to teach their students. And so certified therapeutic musicians should be able to stay within the scope of practice. We have developed a scope of practice, which is also on our site. And in addition to that, that musicianship, of course, is foremost. It prepares him or her to instinctively and comfortably know what to musically present to each individual and unique patient. When you go in and you observe and you check out to make sure you want to play the right piece, and then not only that, you have to really be keen on any changes that occur during the music session so that you're able to change your music accordingly. So the level of professionalism is high, the expectations are high, and it prepares the trainee to have confidence in the clinical environment, to know the expectations of other fellow clinicians and relative healthcare systems, and in particular, closing the loop between the referral and the reporting. And I say that because if one goes in to play at the bedside and then leaves, how's anyone going to know what you did? So it's really important, and this is also a part of the training where we talk about referrals and we talk about reporting, so we can close the loop. And also the more, probably the really important thing about that is that the people who work around you will see or read what the effects are or the effects were of your session. And so also, because it is a practice, you just don't get your certification and then you go play. But there's also, in order to maintain your certification, programs are recommending that graduates do continuing education because it is a practice, and the more you do it, the more you learn how best to continue on to situations where that maybe you haven't experienced. So the more experience you have under your belt, the more you're able to serve.
So with the National Standards Board, the board has set forth guidelines on a minimum of training hours, a minimum of continuing education hours, and set the standards of what needs to be covered in the training so that administrators of facilities would be able to feel confident that people have come in with training, correct?
Yes, that's right. It's usually about a year. I would say that it would take an individual no longer than a year to complete, and probably shorter than that. But that's about, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 months, depending on the program. And the training formats vary from program to program that are, I can speak to the ones that are accredited. We have accredited programs that are distance learning programs where you can learn at home. There are some where you actually go on site perhaps 4 or 5 times during the training cycle and you go physically go there and learn. And then there's a mixture of both online training and also one on-site training session. So all programs require reading, reporting material, a minimum of 45 hours, and supervised on-site practicum experience. There's a relative protocol, behavior and musicianship standards, and there's tests. So for instance, in one of the programs, there are several book reports and required reading lists, satisfactory completed homework sessions. You must attend all of the classroom formats. Some of them are either on-site or online. There is an independent study, which I mentioned, which is which is 45 hours, satisfactory supervisor-mentor report. There are essays, and then there are proof that you can actually play the music, which is required. And oftentimes, some of the programs ask that you submit samples that you might need to play for specific patient populations and that sort of thing.
Can you talk to us about the pay scale of therapeutic musicians?
I can talk about what I know. Right now, the National Standards Board for Therapeutic Musicians, as we speak, is going into the actually developing a pay scale. The pay varies right now from geographical location to geographical location. The board is trying to catch up to find out what's actually happening today. But I can tell you that we do know from previous questioning that around the country now, this is the United States, around the country it varies between $20 and $100 an hour, and it depends on, for instance, that $20 might be Indiana and the $100 might be California. So I believe the average today is somewhere about 35, 40 hours. I know that in Seattle it's $50 an hour. And I think what we're going to be doing, one of the suggestions was perhaps basing the pay scale based on experience. But we are definitely going to be formatting a pay scale.
Wonderful. Stella, is there anything else you'd like to add about therapeutic musicianship?
I started this about 1994, and it's a wonderful road to take, a wonderful example of how we can contribute with doing something that we love. Those of us who love to play music, we want to share it with others, and you don't have to be a virtuoso. All the programs teach you just enough but enough that makes a big difference in how to present the music. So I would say that this particular field, over the years as I've watched it grow, is really developing into something that's definitely eventually going to wind up in probably every healthcare facility in the country and in most of the world.
We hope for that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Stella.